We can excuse the kids for children's church. We are in a series on the book of James, and calling it How Should We Now Live? The book of James is a book of practical advice. Written by James, who was the
time for a solo.
I guess that's a good reminder for all of us to turn our cell phones off at this time. Okay, as I say, we're in the book of James, and it was written by the brother of Jesus. He was a skeptic, and can't get that turned off there, Sandy. I don't know. It just makes me so angry when things like that happen. It throws off my whole train of thought. Now. Anyway, we're in James, and James chapter 1, let's start by reading at verse 19. Oh, I'm just so upset. It says, "My brothers, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." See how quickly we can become upset by little things that enter into our lives, and interruptions never are planned, but they enter our lives, and they can cause a lot of disruption. Phone calls are kind of the least of that, but all of us, I think, have dealt with things. Recently, whether it's in our own personal lives or with the pandemic or with the social unrest, there's these things in our lives that cause us to react. And James here is giving us some very practical advice. The book of James has been called the New Testament book of Proverbs. It's been called Pearls on a String. He just gives little tidbits of advice. And so far, he's given us advice on how to deal with trials, how to deal with temptation. And today, we're going to talk a little bit about how to deal with a few other things, how to deal with our anger, how to deal with our tongues, how to deal with our impatience, and just a few little lines, of little things that we can think about that hopefully will draw us nearer to the Lord, but will also make us more effective Christians, that will add peace and joy to our own lives and help us to be more effective witnesses. It doesn't matter a lot of times the things that we say as much as it matters in many ways the things that we do. So we're going to begin here by looking at verses 19 and 20 from James chapter 1. And I encourage you to turn there if you have a Bible. Otherwise, there are place to take notes on the back of the bulletin. So, my dear brothers and sisters, and then he says, take note of this. So you've got your note sheet there, you write this down. Take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So the first point that we want to make here is that we need to temper our tempers. Temper, or you need to temper your temper. Okay? Human anger does not produce the righteousness of God in your life. So we can make a choice on how we're going to handle our emotions, and we can do a better job. It says that we are to be quick to listen and slow to speak, or slow to react. But so often we react so quickly. When something happens to us, we just react. And we become angry many times, or we become frustrated, and we allow our emotions to rule our lives. When our emotions, which can be a very good thing and a very wonderful thing, you know, they bring a lot of joy and happiness into our lives, but our emotions are not to be the seat of, you know, the ruler of our lives. It's much better that we do that intellectually, that we do it from a seat of facts, and that we do it from out of our relationship with the Lord, rather than just allowing emotions to run wild in our lives. So we need to really start here by being good listeners. Now, being a good listener is a really hard thing to do. Listening can be tedious, it can be boring, it can be, it is self-sacrificing in many ways, because really it's much more fun to have somebody listen to me than it is to listen to them, especially if they're talking about something I'm not necessarily interested in. But it is such a valuable thing and such a wonderful gift that we can give to people when we listen to them. And especially to someone who's hurting, someone who's lonely, if you listen to them, you make their day. It's like a priceless gift that you are giving them that that I think they truly value and treasure. So we listen, we need to, and then we also, in our listening, we need to listen to try to understand that person. If we took that time now as a nation to try to understand each other rather than just trying to be understood, I think it would go a long way in healing a lot of the situations that we are presently dealing with. But it is so, it's just our desire that we want to be understood, and we don't take the time, we don't look at the perspective of trying to understand where the other person is coming from. And when we do that, it is really an act of love. When we say to that person, I'm going to listen to you, I'm going to try to understand your perspective, I'm going to try to value your opinion, it's an act of love. But when we, if we get on the defensive, if we end up in an argument, our first tendency is to put up walls, to go on, to be, we act defensive by being offensive. And we attack, we want to just have our opinion made. When we get into an argument, we want to win that argument, rather than trying to come to some point of agreement or some kind of understanding. It's always our goal to win the argument, okay? And I know, I mean, as you know, like we raised 8 kids, sometimes they argued, and it was always who got that last word in. And I have a couple of kids here today, so. But there was that always, there is, and there still is. You want to win the argument. You want to be the winner. You want your opinion to be the one that triumphs and to have things done according to your plan and your way. But that is not always the Lord's way. We need to be considerate of others. We need to at least try to understand where the other person is coming from. And then, I mean, if they're still wrong, that's truth. You know, we don't deny truth, but we do what we want to be. You want to have let that person know that they've been heard, you know, and it's not just rejected. I know when I wasn't even going to mention this because I had to give up doing it, but when you watch news shows and they just start arguing and they talk over each other, you can tell, you just know, they are not interested in that other person's perspective at all. They are just going to promote their biased opinion and it happens on the right and the left, and it's not communication. It's not listening, and it's certainly not love. In John chapter 13, from John chapter 13, this is not on that list, Bob. There's a well-known song that is taken from the verses there. They'll know we are Christians by our love. And John chapter 13 says, people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If you love one another. And we can really show that by listening deeply and attentively. And as soon as it just gets to be about us, we become defensive. And really the value of that conversation is over. So listening, James is exhorting us here to really be about listening, to make that our priority above speaking. Listen first, then speak, and then if anger still arises in your life, be able to control that anger and funnel that anger in a way that is productive, that brings about righteousness, that brings about reform, that exposes injustice, not in a way that just makes your voice louder than the person you're trying to yell over. And then in relationships, if we don't listen, now, they won't listen to us later. And this especially, I think, is true in raising kids, or in most of our cases, grandkids. But if we take the time to listen to them, even when they're talking about things that to us make no sense, or that we're really not interested in, but if we would value them to the point where we listen to them when they are at a point in their life when they need advice, they are so much more open, I think, to accepting that advice, because they know you value them because you have listened to them. I heard in reading about this week, I came across this story about a mother who was very distraught about the way her teenage son was acting. They were going to church and so on, and everything looked like it was going quite well. But then as he came to his later teenage years, he began to be a little bit more distant. She thought a little bit less communicative, started getting into a little bit of trouble. So she went to the youth pastor and asked if the youth pastor would speak with him. And so he said, sure, I'll go talk to him. So he went and talked to this young man and asked him, when is the last time that you and your mom really sat down and talked? Now, the mother told the youth pastor prior to this, they talk every day. They talk every day. And she's just, just lately now has been kind of distant. But the young man said, he sat there for a moment, and then he said, well, I remember when I was in second grade, and my mom had to take me out of school for a dentist appointment, and the dentist appointment went a little longer than it was supposed to, so she didn't take me back to school, and we went to the Dairy Queen, and we sat down and ate. So now, that was second grade, you're 7 or 8 years old. Now he's 18. And he, in his mind, that was the last time that they actually communicated. But mom thought they were communicating because she was always talking. But she was never listening. So listening is really key. Now God understands us. He understands our flesh. And he understands that we have this tendency to respond much quicker than our flesh, that our flesh responds much quicker than our spirit. And that our anger, it's a very real temptation to allow our anger to have its way with us. And our anger really defines who we are and where we are going. And that kind of brings us to our next portion of scripture here, which is James 1, verses 21 to 25. It says, therefore, and this is with anger and this turmoil, James is talking about anger. You have this turmoil going on in your mind. Therefore, it is important to get rid of the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Okay, so it's important for all of us, especially us as church folks, and as we are listening to sermons every week and reading our Bibles, hopefully every day. We don't want to be just learners. We don't want to be like someone who listens to the word but does not do what it says. But who is someone who looks at himself in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forget what he looks like. Now in my mind, I look a lot better than I do when I see myself. So I know exactly what they're talking about forgetting. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in all that they do. So we don't want to be people who are just increasing in knowledge. Knowledge in and of itself is useless. Knowledge is only helpful when it is applied, when it is put into action. That's when knowledge becomes wisdom. And very few of us are very good at something without practicing it. So I remember all of those tests that I took back in high school and even college, the ones that I crammed for. You know, when you stay up late the night before you know you're going to have a test, and you pack your mind with all that knowledge, and then you just regurgitate it the next day quickly before you forget it. And then a week later, someone asks you a question that was on that test, and you don't know what they're talking about because you've forgotten it. All you did was cram. You just packed it in there. You did not apply it. But when I, in college, one of the most valuable classes that I had really wasn't a class at all. It was when I became a lab assistant in chemistry class, and I had to help the freshman students figure out freshman chemistry. And then I had to explain it. I had to walk them through the processes. And that is when I learned chemistry. It wasn't from cramming for the test. It was by applying. And the way that we learn to walk with Jesus is by applying it. It's not, you know, I mean, you have to read it. You have to know what it says. But then it has to jump off the page and into your heart and be apply. So we don't want to be just learning about God. We want to put it into action. And that's our second point is, and this is the verse, the Nike verse, just do it. You know, when you learn something from the Word of God, do it. Apply it. That is where true maturity in the Christian life comes about. I knew some college professors, seminary professors, who were less mature in their Christian faith than the high school students who were out practicing their Christianity rather than just learning it. So in that way, we can eliminate the ungodly, healthy behaviors that are in all of our lives, that all of us know that we have, the things that frustrate us, the things that tempt us. But in this way, if we practice it, if we begin to put it into action, we can really change our lives. The attributes of God become the attributes of us. Now we might say, but God got angry, and we would be right. One of the attributes of God is anger. But his anger was always directed in a way that brought about change on behalf of another person. He was never angry because of what someone did to him or said to him. He was angry because of the injustice and oppression that he saw in being weighed upon other people's lives. And one of the things that especially made him angry, everyone points to the incident where he came into the temple and he overturned the tables and definitely expressed anger. He did it because the people that were there in the temple were making it, we're ripping off the people that were coming to worship, and we're giving those people really a bad taste of what it was to worship God, and they were preventing people from having free access to God. And God, that's what really angered God. God wants people to be able to come freely to Him. And I have talked to many, many people who do not come to church today because they've had a bad experience with church. And we don't want to be like that. We want to be loving, accepting. You know, we want to stand for the truth. We're not going to, you know, we don't want to be willy-nilly about sin and unrighteousness. But we also want to be very loving and accepting. We don't want to prevent people from coming to the Lord and finding their way that way. So we need to be very careful here about ungodly habits, about our letting our anger have the best of us. We want to be someone who channels that anger in a positive way. And there are things that are happening in our nation right now that we should be angry about. But we need to do something about it. Rather than just getting mad, do something. You know, work toward alleviating oppression, or help someone, you know, climb up that ladder. Help someone get a proper education. Do something. Don't just get mad and blow up and allow your shrapnel to explode around the room and affect other people. I know some of you had those situations in the past, and your heart has been affected by someone who has said something in the past who has hurt you. Maybe it happened 30 or 40 years ago, and you still remember that. It's like shrapnel. So we need to keep our anger under control. And by the way, if you are someone who is still hurting from hurts in the past, forgiveness has got to be the key. You have to forgive. But we will talk about that in depth a little bit later on as we move through the book of James. So then, let's go to verse 26. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. So, you ever have your mother say to you, "Watch your mouth"? Raise your hand, Bob. I saw Nancy's hand too. Okay, and I think that's probably pretty much true for all of us. And here, you know, James is God, really, through James, is exhorting us that we need to be careful with our tongues. And one of the wisest things we can do most often is to be quiet. Because even the fool is thought to be wise when he holds his tongue. So we want to be careful about watching the way that we speak. James comes back to this topic again a little bit later in the book, and so we'll talk about it a little more in depth then, but he's kind of setting the stage for it here now, that we need to be careful about the way we talk. Now, some people are going to say, "Well, that's just the way I am. I just allow my mouth to spew out what's on my mind, and I'm forthright, I'm honest, and I'm blunt, and that's just the way I am." And, you know, there can be good things to that, but it can also be very hurtful when we don't consider the other person. We want to be, first of all, quick to listen, which means we got to consider what that other person is going through, where they're at, what they're doing. Have I listened to them first before I give them my input? So, if you're that type of person, and I'm not saying that it's necessarily wrong, but if you are that type of person, we need to remember that it was not the fact that you were maybe born that way, that you're a triple A personality. We also need to remember that we are now born again, and that God can transform our hearts, that He tempers our spirit, and that He can use us. So if you're going to, if you end it with anything in our lives, if we ever use that excuse, well, I was born this way, that's just the way I am, you need to remember that as a Christian, you are now also born again, and your life should be changing. So as Christians, we need to be people that are encouraging, people that are building up, people that are seeking to reconcile and redeem, not to burn down or just to tear down. That is the work of the devil, the liar and the thief. I'd like to take a look at Psalm 34, verses 12 to 14. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Okay? It's the promise of good days and a long life. So we need to, it's very important that we speak the truth, that we do not allow our mouths to just run off. So it closes with verse 27 from our passage today in James chapter 1. Religion that our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. I recently had the opportunity, and I've had the opportunity to talk with someone who prefaced their remarks to me with, I am not very religious, I've always been very skeptical. And when they told me, I am not very religious, I responded to them, neither am I. And because the picture that most people have of religion is a checklist of events that you need to take care of in your life. That I gone to church this week, check. I did my devotions, check. I gave some money in the offering, check. And because I have done these things, I have now earned some acceptance from God. And we practice trying to be accepted by God. And that is the common, that's common religion in our world today, is trying to be accepted by God, trying to appease an angry God, trying in some way to make God look upon me favorably. Now, it's important that we do all those things. Although all those things are good, but those are not the way that we gain acceptance by God. We gain our acceptance by God by accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior, by trusting in what He has done on our behalf. And then, if we trust in that, what He has done on our behalf, we are accepted by God. And then all of those things, coming to church, giving our tithes, doing our devotions, serving someone, all of those things come out of the wellspring of love that is now in our hearts because Jesus is our Savior. But they are, that is the type of religion that God is looking for. Things that well up out of our heart, out of the abundance of love that I have for God, that God has for me. And those things are then seen in also in acts of service. And here Paul, James just points out two of them, looking after the orphans and the widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Now, I don't think he is limiting that in any way to orphans and widows. I think it's to anyone who has a need. And right now, there are abundant needs all around us in our nation. So I think the final point here that we're going to look at today is just be kind. I think, you know, we need to do what we can in our lives to be kind, to show love and care for other people. And that is true and real religion, the kind that pleases our Father. It isn't a set of rituals to be performed on Sundays or certain holidays. And nothing wrong with those things. Those can be genuine acts of worship and tools to draw us nearer to God. But they need to be coupled with things that really are in our lives. They need to be in kind of foundations upon which we stand to do acts of service, to show love for God and for others. So the future of the church, I don't think the future of the church belongs to those who are the smartest or the most talented or even the most charismatic or the most degreed in theology. I think it belongs to those who have been impacted by God, allowing God to transform their lives and then act on the things that they know. I'd like to look at Romans 12, 2 and 3. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. God's will is that you be conformed to his image, and that you then act in a way that shows that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. So today, I would like to challenge each one of you to try to think of something that you're going to do, something you are going to act upon, that you're not going to be just a listener or a learner, but you're going to be a doer. So today, do you need to put your trust in Christ? Do you need to take the time to listen to someone? Do you need to take steps in controlling your anger? Do you need to get help for some struggle in your life? Do you need to start serving your family or your neighbors? Do you need to start standing up for those who are oppressed? You choose. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love for us. I thank you that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. You counted us worthy, Lord, of all your attention. That as you, Lord, went to that cross, you had each one of us on your mind. That you were listening to the need that we had, and you did something about it. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation we enjoy. Help us, Lord, to be shining lights in this community. Help us to stand for you and to help lift others, Lord, up to a place where they come to know you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.